to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. That's the way you want to see him. Love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing. Holy, holy, holy. He's worthy, isn't he? Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Amen and amen. You want to see him? Well, look into his word. And good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your Bible, turn back where we've been reading in Ephesians 1. And then we'll go to Romans 4. Ephesians 1 and Romans 4. Remember now, the Bible study will be this coming Saturday, 6 o'clock. What was the topic? Who can remember what was the topic? Somebody's saying something. Seven things that I hate. Okay, all right. Seven things that I hate. That's in the scripture there. It says six things I hate, and then the seventh comes up, you know. All right. And remember then, the minister's meeting will be the second Saturday, and Brother Gerald Hughes, right? And then the fellowship meeting will be here on the third Saturday, be the 21st, 22nd. Brother Jewel Forney will be here preaching for the weekend. So remember these announcements and keep them in your prayers. Ephesians 1 and Romans 4. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace unto us. Thank you for all things. And we know you said you give them to us freely, so we stand here believing that this afternoon, that you will come on the scene and give unto us the things we have need of. Because we pray, as the scripture says, that give us this day our daily bread. Because we grow day by faith in thy word. And Lord, we know that we're to be, as the prophet said this morning, that the people couldn't wait. So help us to wait upon you, to make manifest your word and to walk in the light of the hour that we're living. Forgive our sins and lead us, Lord, by thy grace and love. And just have your way now and teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 1. We'll go like we've been to verse 3 through probably verse 7, I think it is, 6 or 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Okay, let's go to Galatians. I said Romans, but it's the Galatians. Forgive me. I'm thinking on Romans 8. So, but I want to use this one, and then we'll get it in the way. Go to Galatians 4. Yeah. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, we were trying to express this morning, and It was said I got real fast, so I was trying to bring out a lot of things, but you understand, and I was doing it, you know, just to make sure we didn't. I didn't want you to misunderstand what I was talking about, how that Jesus never, you know, give us an inheritance. He was the one that stood between God and man to transmit that inheritance down to us. And him being Almighty God, the inheritance was fully in him. But how could it be brought out? See? And while he was here in that flesh, he could not transmit that life, you know, the eternal life, our inheritance, which was our name written on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. And there was no way that he could do that while he was alive. So it meant he had to die, see, to be able to bring us to, or bring the inheritance to the position that you and I could receive it. And as I said, God could not then just say, well, I'll just sprinkle eternal life down through time and so many people will grab it and, you know, and they'll become eternal. And that would be what you would be saying if you were believing the doctrine that you always was eternal. You don't need the new birth and things like that. You just always was eternal. Well, I don't agree with that. I agree with what the prophet is saying, that you always was eternal, because he's talking about if you have eternal life. If you received eternal life, that eternal life always was eternal. But there was a time I didn't possess it as a person, and even I hope you were catching it, the point that I was making, that see, then Brother Branham said that in doing what he done, Jesus inherited eternal life. Not that he had to have eternal life in soul, because he was Almighty God. But the body was a human element that had to be made eternal. See, it was an element that had a beginning. So in doing the way he done, he inherited eternal life in body. And by that, then you could go to the future home and say, you know, by this part of the earth, which was on the River Jordan, he said, you know, this is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. And the prophet interpreting what that was saying was, this is the part of the earth that I have redeemed, and from this part of the earth I'll redeem the rest of it. So then our bodies are in the process of being redeemed, see, and it's working from the inside out, and we stand like he did in a human mortal body that needed redemption, not because he was a sinner, but because his body had a beginning. All right? And he inherited that by doing the way he did, so he gets something. So we get something, and we're heirs with him. Whatever he gets, we're joint heirs. And I hope you was listening to the point of trying to bring it to you, and at least thinking spiritual to that place of what we're talking about. But now, we're going to go into, and if you will, that's the reason I say in Romans, you know, we're going to go into Romans 8. All right, so if you will read Romans 8, and study it, especially from about verse 14, I think it is, of Romans 8, on what through 22, 23. And just study that over and think about it. And we'll be covering adoption, and it will be in three stages, you know. And it covers it there in three stages, but I want to get onto that just in one message. But what I want you to do is to think on those things and, you know, think of adoption. Now, in our natural day of adoption is like you adopt somebody else's children. All right, you know, that is our form of adoption. But in biblical terms, the one that's like we read in Galatians, that see, when a baby's born into the family, that became a point that where that baby was a baby, it was a child, it was an heir, but it was not to the point of being able to handle or do or talk about even, you know, the inheritance that it was entitled to, and was not, it wasn't to the point of what would be called sonship. And sonship deals with the basis of your growing up, you know. All right. And see, we'll be covering that. And you think on those things, and, you know, we'll get to a point at the end of the message to make sure you understand how that we're tying it together. But there's a little thought that I want to bring this afternoon, and I don't know. I meant to be short this morning and longer this evening, but, you know, we'll get through by 5 o'clock anyway. But bear with me, because I want to make a point. Now, as I said, in the natural days of adoption, we adopt other people's children, you know, into our families, and then make them inheritance with us. And as far as the law is concerned, if you adopt a child, and it's true adoption, then that child is as much heir as any child born into your natural family, because that's the law of adoption. All right, and see, then doing that, I know Brother Picasso, they have a lot of children there in the orphanage, but as certain ones that they adopt, well, when that does, that means that comes into their lineage part with them, see, and you know, making them, I've talked with him before on it, but see, we think about adoption, and a lot has been said about it, that, you know, of what it is, and I'm just going to give you the definition from Strong's Concordance. It says adoption of children, 5206, and it's the same one for all six times adoption is used in the Bible. And says adoption as sons. Says that relationship which God was pleased to establish between himself and the Israelites in preference to all other nations. All right. It means the nature and condition of the true disciples in Christ, who by receiving the Spirit of God into their souls become sons of God. It also includes the blessed state looked for in the future life after the visible return of Christ from heaven. In other words, goes all the way through. All right. Now, the point I want to make with you, and I know, Brother Branham, I'll make the statement now, then I'll reread it. Your adoption is not your birth.
Right. Amen.
All right. Amen. Now, and I'll reread that to you in a minute to where you'll keep that. But the point I want you to get in mind is one thing. You and I, the adoption, I forgot to write that down, but adoption was, it really pertained to Israel. All right? Because it was an Israelite custom, and, you know, coming down. But it, Paul says adoption pertained to Israel, and the covenants, the receiving of the commandments, et cetera, belonged to Israel because they were God's chosen people. All right? You and I were Gentiles. No lineage right whatsoever to be connected to God and adoption. All right. Now, but the only way that I can really get into the right understanding for me to see it now is this way. Being that we were alienated from, and that's in the scripture, Ephesians, I think, alienated from the commonwealth of God. All right. See, we had no rights, no lineages. There's not anything we can go to. We can't go to look how good I was. Look who I was born from. My mom and my daddy were Jews, and I'm a Jew. You know, Paul said it's not a Jew that's outwardly, but a Jew that's inwardly. And what's he talking about? The new birth. All right? Now, we came kinfolks to the devil. Of course, the Israelites did too and everything, but they were setting up a stage for God to be later used, and I done a little research one time on the adoptional ways, and I don't mean it's not in the Bible. I mean they picked up a custom from other nations, and Israel began doing that. And God didn't say amen. I'll just put that in the word. No, it's already in the word. But it came on forth, because you won't find a lot in the Old Testament except you'll find Joseph and the coat of many colors, but the word adoption is not used. But that was what was taking place. The one who was tutored and trained, and each child, as we'll cover later, I believe each child in the children of Israel. I don't believe it was just Joseph that received the adoption. I believe all of the others, when they reached a certain age and were proven to be children of the family, then they received their adoption. you know, into the family and all like that. But Joseph got a special blessing and got, because he was the chosen of God, I mean the chosen of his father and born late age and all like that, and he received the coat of many colors. We will review these things later, but I'm trying to make a point to you. See, so the first thing is we've got to get into the family of God. That's the point of adoption. Adoption will be to the point that God only adopts his own children. He doesn't adopt the devil's children. So we were born kinfolks to the devil. According to the book of Ruth, we had one near a kin, and we had the things had to be done to bring us to the place that was there. And, you know, and in doing that, then if we receive the new birth, it brings us into the family. All right. Now, I want to use it like this. And if you differ with me or somebody hears me say it, I'm making this statement of my own for clarification. All right. That if we go to Romans and find that you receive the spirit of adoption, and we will cover that, all right, then the spirit of adoption can be your new birth. Right? The spirit of adoption. You didn't have the spirit of adoption until you received the new birth. That is your spirit of adoption. All right, everybody understand me? So then we had to be brought into the family of God. So why can't we say that by the new birth we received the spirit of adoption? See? So God adopts us into the Israelite promise. Not the Israelite conditions, nations, etc. No, but he makes us a Jew at heart. An Israelite, which is chosen of God. He makes us that in heart, not in natural lineage. All right, so now does everybody understand what I'm saying? Your new birth to me, being the spirit of adoption, brings you into the family, and that way you're adopted into the family of God. Because you had no right of being in the family. We have no lineage, no connections. There's no, we can't say it. We're the Abraham's our father. No, Abraham's the father of Israelites, not father of Gentiles. Now, I know that a lot of them came out of that. Sure, all right. I understand that, you know, the Ishmael and the Isaacs and all of that. I understand the story, but still they had no promise. The Ishmael side never had no promise. It was only to the Israelites was the promise made, which would be the children of Ishmael, of Isaac. And Ishmael had no connection whatsoever to it. But now, the thing of what I'm saying is, you must receive the new birth. All right. I don't want you to come up later and say, but yet now this don't sound exactly the way you were bringing it Sunday. See, I want this in your mind, that we must be brought into the family of God. All right. So we could use the word adoption in the terms of bringing us into the family. See? Because if you don't do it that way, then you would be making us sons of God in not even no lineage form. You Gentiles have no lineage form. Does everybody understand what I mean by that? That the Jews had a lineage. That was God's chosen. He said, out of all the world, I chose you as a nation. But he didn't choose nobody else. He gave them circumcision. He gave them signs. He done everything. All right. But see, then the only place that we can come in is talking about the book of Ruth, see? But see, Boaz, he couldn't pay the price for Ruth, see? Because she had no lineage right. All right? See, her husband, she went over and married a man, you know, and things, but had no light, no, everything was gone. All right? But yet, see, she was a Gentile, in other words. All right? So then what happened, he had to purchase Naomi. All right? In purchasing Naomi, which was an Israelite. Then, if Naomi was going to give Ruth anything, see, then Boaz would be buying that portion. All right? And see, I don't know what the name of the other one was, but was it Orthed or something? Orpha. See, she went back. She went back to her people. She was Gentile. She went back to her people. She had no, it's not even discussed anymore. Her position is not in no types and shadows or anything. It's just it's left that way. All right. But see, when Boaz paid the price, he paid the price for Naomi. All right. But see, paying the price for Naomi, then Naomi could bring in Ruth. See? Because of being her daughter-in-law, she could bring her in, and then Boaz could take Naomi, and then he would automatically get Ruth, because that was in the family. Ruth had no property lineage. You could say, well, he did it through her husband, you know, but still, she was a Gentile. So you have trouble connecting her to the Israelites, because it's all pertaining. And see, that's what I love about the Bible, that ever so often down through there, you got a Rahab the harlot, you got a Ruth, and you got the things that the Gentiles are just, you know, here and yonder. You got all of the mighty men of David and them being Gentiles, and you got them being shown here and yonder, you know. And I love that because it meant it was coming down. But get the point now, and then we'll start into the message. So when I come back to it, then you won't misunderstand me. See, the spirit of adoption brings us into the family. It is not your adoption. It is the spirit of adoption. All right? That would bring us into the family. So you could say we're adopted into the family. See? Because that's what we are. We had no way of getting into the family. Jesus Christ paid the price to bring us into the family. All right, so now if everybody will follow with me, it won't be confusing when I get back to the other and really start laying it down hard. And I will at the end of the message to make sure you don't misunderstand me. But the point I want to make to you is one thing. I want us to talk about something present tense. You know, it's good to talk about, as Wade said, about Abraham and all that, but that's all a good story. But I want to talk about something present tense. And that's why I love the scripture like it is. We read there in Ephesians that we were predestinated unto adoption. All right. Now, Brother Branham says, and it's right above one of the quotes we'll give in a minute. He said, unto. I said, what does that mean? He said, unto means something we are coming unto. You know, I go unto the water fountain, or something like that. It's a word meaning that you're not fully there, but yet you're in the travel part of it, you know, and you're moving toward it. Something we're coming unto. All right. Now, in this day, this is the hour that the whole world has been waiting on. All right. For someone to come unto full sonship. Now, we've had sonship. We've had the new birth. Right? Every age has had the new birth. All right. But yet, it's something that's not right yet. And here we are in the end time, and you know, I like to do this every once in a while, like the series I've done on the book of Revelations, where, you know, that if you want to find your book, then read the book of Revelations, because that's the bride's book. I love that. You know, the bride's book is the book of Revelations, because all you got to do is just get in there and understand what it's talking about. You've never find Jesus in the book of Revelation by himself. You always find him in somebody, with somebody. Because at that time, he's already joined up. Now, but notice it says we're predestinated unto. All right. Now, that scripture, to me now, is pointing to the day and you and I are living in. All right. Now, Israel was predestinated. to a point of what they were and how they done. The prophets were predestinated. I hadn't got to that message yet, remember, of the fivefold ministry and the prophets, because they're predestinated unto that place. And you know, the gifts are predestinated. The fivefold ministry is predestinated. Word of God. Now, listen then. See, this scripture is pointing to now. Because, look what the prophet says now. Of the message adoption. Now, I'm using this, and I will try to get back to the other, because me and Brother Joe, I wish we could transfer over, but it's not that I love the other printing up of the way the different things of the message is, but this one is taken from the latest version from Voice of God Recordings. And that's fine, but the difference is in paragraphs and titles sometimes. In a minute, we'll get down to one that's called adoption. And really, in the old references that I use of the other form or whatever you call the message, it uses it manifested sons. So sometimes it's confusing. And Brother Joe is having to transfer it over to where that people will pick it up, you know, because there's two different, it's not two different versions now. And everything's basically the same. Some paragraphs are a tad bit different because it's a new revised version coming straight from Voice of God Recordings. And I like it, but I'm just saying it just changes the titles sometimes. And if it don't wind up with the same paragraph to you and on the internet, you know, you hear something and it don't wind up with the same message, look at the date. Always give the date. The date will be the same. Where it calls it Adoption 3, or something like that, or it calls it Manifested Sons. Look at the date. I think it's 4:18. Look at the date on it. And if you miss a paragraph, a half or so, you know what we've had to do with the old seal book. The old seal book, when they put out the new seal book, it's got the same words in it, but it's got different paragraphs. And you say page 40, and it might be page 42 in the new one, you know. So, you know, bear with us. We do the best we can, because if you leave everything on the old style, the new style is off. If you go to the all new style, the old style is off. So we have troubles. I can't help it that they decided to do those things. I just try to tell you what's taking place. So if I give you a paragraph number and it's not the same, please look around until you find it. Don't say, well, that was wrong. Mine says this. Well, I'm reading from a different thing or something. But this message is, number one on your notes, it's adoption. Number four, see, it won't be called that a lot of times in the other style. It'll give you a title. But here's the date. It's 5:22, the evening service, 1960. Now listen to what Brother Brown says. Tell me, my brother, tell me, my sister, when was the time that the sons of God was ever to be manifested outside of this time now? Now you could stop right there and you could say, Brother Branham, we've had sons of God all since Calvary. You taught us that. See? That's right. But he's telling us of what this age is. All right? Everything in the Bible is pointing to this age. All right. So now he's telling you about this age. So that's what I'm saying. This is a message to try to bring us update, present tense, time, and you'll see why I'll make a few statements in a moment. Outside of this time, where was there ever a time in the history this that manifested time to deliver all nature? So now you see what he's pointing to. This is pointing to the end time to deliver all nature. All right? Nature, the nature itself is groaning, waiting for the time of the manifestation. Why? Before the atonement was made, before the Holy Ghost was ever poured out, before all the Old Testament on down there, there couldn't have been manifestation. It had to wait till this time. Now, what's he talking about? You don't find the word adoption written in here, in this quote. You find him dealing with the end time. The manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. All right? Which is here now, the end time. All right? He's not dealing in this message, talking about who's born again, who ain't born again, what's doing. He's telling you what the world's waiting on. He's telling you what we're all waiting on. What? The manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. All right? Now, what? A time to deliver. Right? A time to deliver. See? All right. See, there couldn't have been manifestation. It had to wait till this time. All the things had been brought, coming, shaping up to a headstone to the manifestation of sons of God coming back and the Spirit of God coming into these men so perfectly until their ministry will be so close like Christ till it'll join him and his church together. All right. Now, pointing to our day. So don't get tied up in what is this and what is that. Okay? Stay with me of what I'm trying to bring. All right? Don't say, well, I thought this or I thought that. Just stay with me and listen. We'll get back to those things and cover them in detail. I'm talking about predestinated unto adoption. A specific place, time, event that the world has been waiting on. That everything's waiting on. See? Tying to this age. We'll get to the scripture in a minute on a lot of things, right? See? Now, the Word of God, as I was saying, those prophets, as they walked out there with that Word of God, they really were the Word for their age. Now, and the people took that Word, and they became the Word of that age. See? You could say, well, our David was, he killed Goliath. That's right, but he didn't kill all the rest of the Philistines. See, the people caught on to the message, and they became the word of the age they were living. All right? Moses went up into the mountain, come back. All right? He had the message. But you know what? A lot of times the people didn't want to follow that message, so they died in the wilderness. But those who wanted to follow it went into the promised land. All right? So now, get the point. No matter what, we claim a message of the hour. Thank God. But if you and I don't become that message, then God has done his part. Everything's done. It's our responsibility. Okay? See, and we must recognize our day and its message. This is not the age of Martin Luther. This is not the age of John Wesley, Pentecostal, etc. This is the age to where they were promised to come to a total deliverance of even nature. We've seen it in a manifestation through the prophet in the basis of speaking things into existence of a bull running at him and God conquering the bull through love and the bees, etc. Nature saw its master for a moment. But he said, these things that you've seen, one day will be seen in its fullness. All right? In a bride. All right, now. So being predestinated unto, we are still in the travel stages. But somewhere, somebody one day has got to come to the place to say, this is that. I like the way Brother Branham said it. He said, you know, he'd be saying that of the scripture where they said, this is that, you know. There in the book of Acts, I think it is. He said, if this ain't that, let me keep this until that gets here. All right? But I think he believed that was that, don't you? All right? See, we've got to be positive. I'm trying to get us to a point just today to be positive. This is on my mind, all right? So this is what I want to try to bring out. That this is the hour. This is the time. And no matter how bad we look, no matter about what you think, see, people will say, you ain't got nothing, I ain't got nothing. Well, there's one thing about it, we're still here. We're not doing like a lot of churches, is cutting down on their services and having less and less. If it's possible, we'd have more and more. And we'll have more services this year because we haven't had a Good Friday and Saturday and the Sunday services. And then we're going to have a fellowship meetings, and then we're going to have a 4th of July time. And we're going to have a Saturday and a Sunday for that. And we're putting in more services. And it wouldn't bother me if we had church every night. I know that'd be rough on the body, but I thought we believed that we're to go to church and do more as we've seen the time approaching, and not do like the world that drops off and do. But that's all right. That's your business. See, what I want to try to do now is speak of the word, or what is to be predestinated for this time. Now remember, if it's predestinated, that means there's nothing Satan can do to stop that from taking place. He can do a lot of trying, but he can't stop it. Why? Because it's predestinated. All right? Remember, it's not the person that comes predestinated eternally. That's what, 152, I think, or something in the church age book. But the word or seed. All right? And then being a word or seed, someone has to make that word manifest. So what part of the word is for us? Okay? You've heard Brother Brown say that Moses didn't build an ark and float the children of Israel out of Egypt. He said that was Noah's day. All right? But they had a word to be fulfilled of going to the promised land. Now, Martin Luther brought a message of the just shall live by faith. John Wesley come along, standing on that part of the word now, not rejecting it. If had he rejected it, he would have had Moses rejected the God that brought the children of, and brought them over in the ark. Then he would have rejected the word. So it's all apart. So John Wesley believed in justification, preaching justification. But then he received the message of sanctification. Now, Pentecostal, Azusa Street, baptism of the Holy Ghost, etc. Then you had the prophet coming in his day and time. And all of that is part of the Word of God, right? And each one was predestinated. The just shall live by faith was the predestinated word of God, which meant there was no way that that wasn't going to happen. Right. Amen. I don't care what anybody thinks. It was going to happen. Why? Because God predestinated. Amen. And Martin Luther was the man that by foreknowledge it would fall into. So he and his message become one. Right? Then the people and the message become one. All right? See, so is it with every age now. All right. Then in doing that, we must find where we're at. We have a word to be fulfilled. All right. So now I gave you some quotes where Brother Brandon said he talks about, like, there's a man here that can turn on the lights, 1963, 1229, paragraph 105. Now in all ages, God has set forth so much of his word for each age. God always sends somebody that word can get into and show the light of it. That every age it does the same thing, always does that. So there's a word for every age. You say, well, we're just sitting here waiting for a bus to pull up, you know. Well, now that wasn't what Martin Luther said. He set the world on fire with justification. Because we just go to church if we want to. If we don't want to, we don't need to. We can always listen to the tapes. We can, you know, okay. That's your choice. Because we're going to prove what we are. See? All right? When God spoke through the prophets, they were the word, that's underlined in that same quote. And they made that manifest for the day that they were living in. Okay? Turn on the lights, preached in 1964, 125, paragraph 33. We want to talk about this morning is rejecting this light. By them it's sent to reject, see it. And it's just like it was then. They reject the light. All right, but we take the light. See, he was the light of the world, but he was rejected. All right. And it meets that condition every time that God maintains his light. The light, the world itself rejects that light. Why? It's written right in the Bible. Each age. God has allotted so much of his word for each age, and he always sends somebody to make that word manifest. All right. Now, read all the rest of them down through there, like Christ is identified the same. 64:4:18, paragraph 95. God allots his word for the age when that word is ready to be manifested. Now search the scriptures. Don't just take my word. When that word is ready to be manifested, then God sends down a prophet and reveals the word to the prophet. All right. So we've had the prophet. We're in the word of the age. We're not in the word of the age of the prophet. Now, there are people that are just receiving the message. Remember, unto means you're traveling. There are people that are just hearing about the prophet. We've got to have that. All right? But for everybody, it's not, God sent a prophet. What's your message today? God sent a prophet. No. I like the way they said it in India to the brothers and them. Said, you've told us that God sent a prophet. Now send somebody over here to tell us what that prophet taught. In China, I think it was China, yeah. But now think about it. The word of each age. There's a bunch more quotes down through there. Two more about the word of the age. All right, now, the word of the age would be made manifest by somebody. All right? So we're not in Martin Luther's age. We're not in John Wesley's age. We believe it. We're not in Azusa Street, Pentecostal age. We're not in the age of God sent a prophet. Now, I've explained that, so you cut yourself off. Do what you want to. I've explained that, so people will just click and on their brain, well, you don't believe in it. We should be through that. That's for you to do if that's what you're doing. Explain to the world that God sent a prophet. But somebody's got to move on. To what the prophet taught. All right? Now, because in this age, then, they would be a word for this age. All right? Now, I lost my notes, so forget that. In this age, we're to the age of where, what? Brother Dick loves this one. What is it? Hebrews 11:40. They without us could not be made perfect. They could not be brought to completion without us. The fivefold ministry, according to Ephesians, is for the perfecting of the saints. All right? So there has to be a predestinated fivefold ministry. Now, not everybody. I told you. There was probably a lot of people in the days of Martin Luther protested the Catholic Church. Had little uprisings and like that, sure. And we're not against it. But there was nobody with the message that was predestinated for that hour. But Martin Luther, he got that message probably by listening to somebody else. But then God spoke, and you know they wasn't just sitting back there. No. They were studying the Bible, and all of the people and things. But see, when God quickened that. That was the light of that age. That was the salvation of that age. All right? Now, when it come into Wesley's time, you got overflows. You know, not just dropped in. You got overflows. But in the days of John Wesley, John Wesley taught justification. His message was not just, well, folks, we don't need Luther no more. We sanctified now. Luther said Luther sitting in the pub drinking beer, smoking a pipe. But we're beyond that days. He's lost and gone. You know, no. John Wesley believed Luther's message. But God was ready to move on the scene to advance the Word. The Word was going to open, and it did. So was it at Azusa Street. So was it with Brother Branham. But now we're in what is called the Bright Age. Every age had a bright age. There was a bright age in every age, with a bride birthed into that message of the age, which birthed them out of the age. There was no bride ever in an age. Well, they lived there. Yeah, we're still living here. But Brother Brown said, I'm not the messenger to Laodicea. He was bringing the message to the bride. This is the bright age. He said, on the seal book, he said, I call you bride. Right? Now, see, then the scripture's pointing down here to something's got to take place. Well, we're just sitting here waiting on the bus. They got all kind of definitions of what that is. See? This has got to happen. That's got to happen. This has got to be done. That's got to be done. Well, what if it don't happen? We could be sitting waiting on the bus that don't pull up. I mean, I've just always tried to be honest with you, with everybody. I believe what the prophet said. But I want that word revealed into my heart to see who I am. Because knowing who Brother Branham was won't save me. The knowing who Jesus Christ was won't save me. To be able to make a discourse speech and bring him all the way down and bring him right down into a cradle and right out and up over to where he's at, that won't save nobody. It's got to be a personal experience in your heart of the baptism of the Holy Ghost to bring salvation to you and I. In other words, the Word's got to be made alive. All right? And there's part of the Word to be made alive here in this time. You and I are not to make those others manifest. We believe all of the others. I was in a funeral, Brother Maloney, I think, or Sister Maloney one, and the undertaker said, by the way, what are you? I said, I'm a Methodist Presbyterian Pentecostal. He said, I'd sure have to hate to write that on your death certificate. I said, I don't intend for you to. I intend to be changed. Yeah. Because that's what my hopes are. It's based on it. If I'm not, don't let me hinder those that can. But there's a word for every age to be made alive. And there's a word for this age. If it wasn't for one scripture, they without us cannot be made perfect. That places somebody into a place and a position of what we read. That where would it be, Brother Randall said, outside of this age of the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God coming to the headstone, he said, that would bring it to a position to where that it would fulfill all the scriptures. See? But in doing that, see, can we see the age we're living? We are predestinated unto. A place must be reached in this age that adoption comes to full sonship. Yeah. That they can control nature. And here's where we're going to get into it a minute, but that's all right. Where they can do this, that, or the other. Well, Brother Brown's the only one that done it. Well, if that would be true, that would still be enough to make sure the Word was made manifest for the age. Well, no problem. But we could stand here all afternoon and talk about the things that God has done among us But do you ever put it together to think about that maybe God is with us? You know what? I mean, we've seen everything in the book in this little building.
Amen.
We've had the word of the Lord that says it won't rain until I call for it. And then I stood right here and told you, I said, you better roll your windows up because I call for it and it's coming. But see, well, Brother Dale, you think you're a prophet? No, I told you I'm not one. I'm a child of God.
Amen.
Then why you want to go to all junk like that? I thought it was for all of it. Well, you're trying to make something out of yourself. I don't have to make nothing out of myself. The old fella said one time, he said, it ain't no brag, it's just facts. If I stand here and tell you facts, and you've been live with me and can't deny it, there's one sitting right there that I said he'll come to God. And I told him, I said, he'll be a preacher in the pulpit with me. But see, we don't want to look at that. Well, that's just a lucky guess. Well, I told Joyce that Danny is coming, so that's all that two of them.
Right.
Why don't you do it to everybody? Because God ain't told me. I tell it when he tells me. And sometimes I don't even tell you everything he does tell me. Why? Because you get built on, well, Brother Dale's got it. I'm not trying to tell you I got it. I'm trying to tell you God's got it. But I'm trying to tell you to get out of the thing and then you're thinking in your mind, well, Brother Branham's the only one could do this. Brother Branham's the only one that saw this, that, or the other. What bus are you riding? I'm just trying to tell you the truth. I'm trying to get you to see the God that's in your life. What was it, Sister Brenda? You're standing there and the Lord spoke to you about something. Well, why can't we believe that? You mean he'd do that? He only spoke to the prophet. Why? You know the only reason he don't speak to people? Because they don't believe it. You know? You blame God for not speaking to you? Maybe you ain't got out of your carnality enough to yet where God can speak to you. I've never tried to get you to come here on because of signs and wonders. I told you about it. We had a brother come here from years, and I begged God not to do nothing while he's here. Because all he'd do is go out and run his mouth. And he causes a lot of trouble because sign seekers would come running in.
Right.
And then they get pictures, want to take cameras, they want to, you know, try to find a pillar of fire, want to try this or try. They'd become a bunch of sign seekers.
Right.
And I just finally told him that one day. He's, Brother Dale, I said, you're exactly right. I don't want you here unless it's a word. If it ain't the word that you come here for, you're going to hinder me and I'm going to hinder you.
Right.
If you need money to go somewhere else, let me know. I'll help you. That's as plain as I can be. That means I ain't building up nothing. I'm just me. And I'm sorry. I know I'm not what you think about a pastor. I'm the first one to say that. But I've done the best I could try to do to show you God.
Amen.
But I'm trying today to show you this is the time. When are we going to believe it's the time? Why have we been here 40 years after the prophet's gone? 40-something years now. Because we're not ready. Because we're not believing what God says. Oh, if I could just see. Yeah. You'll never see. God draws millions of gallons of water out of the ocean every day and never makes one sound. Yeah. He doesn't go around broadcasting his stuff. But there's a word for the age, lauded for the age on the earth. And somebody has to be here to make that live. That's what he says in the Feast of the Trumpets. Let's read that one. 64, 719, the morning service, paragraph 57. Six on your notes. And remember, God is the word, and each age has lauded the word for each age. He has lauded the word for each age. That would be on the earth. He lauded it in the church ages, and the seven seals revealed every bit of it. That's what the seals was about. The seals is to reveal and show us the age, the time that we're living. the position that we're expected to be in. You don't have to do anything. Let God do it. That's why I was reading there this morning and said I'd like to spend a lot of time. See, Pentecostals is only Pentecostals. They're always looking for signs and wonders and things. Get the word first, the signs and wonders will follow it. You don't know what to judge it by if you don't have the word first. There ain't nobody in the world that don't believe in signs and wonders any more than this man you're looking at. Because I've told you of the things that God has told me and they've come to pass. I've got to believe in him being real. I told my wife one day, I said, I'll quit preaching if something don't happen. She said, you preach your last sermon. I said, it'll take place or I'll quit. Well, she had to admit one day it took place. But you see, church, when are we going to get to the place to believe in where we're standing at? And what we're doing? Well, I just don't see it. Look like we have everybody healed in the building. What kind of an idea did you, where'd you get that from? The closer Jesus Christ got to Calvary, the worse conditions he lived in. The older we're getting, the worse conditions is growing in us, right? We're expected to be 100 years old and running around looking like 20. What? Glory, hallelujah. No, you know what I'm saying. Glory, hallelujah. How about it? I'm still alive. That's what that man said that day at work about it. He's talking something about the Catholics. He said, how many Catholics are there? I said, about that time it's 500 million. He said, you mean they're all wrong and you're right? I said, well, I didn't say that. The word does. He said, well, how come you're sick? I thought for a minute, God, give me an answer. I looked at him, I said, I ain't dead. He was a nice enough man. He said, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that to you. I said, well, it's just the truth. I'm still alive. Why can't we believe what God is doing among us instead of, well, I'd like to see this. We'd all like to be healed, right? But the Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but don't stop. The Lord leadeth out of them all. The reason we're not healed is because we're not taking it and getting serious. All right? But you see, we get sick and we just, I wonder what happened. What have I done wrong? You're getting older. And your body is deteriorating if you're young. Right? But you see, church, we're not looking at things as present tense, my whole point. Adoption is your placing into the body of Christ. Right? Positionally placing. But yet, the new birth puts us in the body. Because we were born kinfolks to the devil, he had to bring us into the body. Before you can even speak to us about adoption. The natural Israelite was born into the family. They had proselytes, but I don't know of any record they adopted proselytes. They had proselytes to the religion. But yet we're not proselytes. We're the sons and daughters of Almighty God with a word for the age that we're living. The Bible is pointing to you and I. You want to know what we're here for? It's pointing to you and I. See? Having predestinated us. Us. Don't worry about Luther's age. It's done. Wesley's age. Zusa Street. Brother Brown's message. They've got their message and gone off the scene. But there's a message for you and I to be living that will not die. What about in Thessalonians? Now, excuse me, what about in Corinthians? To where that you promised not to die. Now, why can't we believe that? What is it? 1 Corinthians 15:52. We're promised not to die. Well, that's, you go out and you talk to people and you find out what they believe, right? You get to talking to somebody and they say, yep, the end of the world's here. End of the world's here, right? Yep, end of the world. We're living in the last day. You start talking to them about the real signs. Well, nobody knows the date or the hour. And that's maybe 50 years from now. Maybe 50 years from now that'll take place. In other words, they're 80 years old and it's 50 years later. They're bound to know they ain't going to be here. Nobody wants to think about something living present. The Lord's coming. Well, yeah. Nobody knows the day nor the hour. Maybe 20 years from now. Maybe. No. See, somebody's going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Now, why can't we believe that? We do mentally. That's been quoted for 2,000 years. Right. Even the man that quoted it never attained unto it. The one that said it. But now I believe when he said it, it was present tense to him. I believe that. When he prophesied, when a man prophesied in the spirit, you know, and tells you what God said, that don't matter about time, elements, ages, nothing. To him, that is real. Right there. As real as it'll ever be. That's something present tense. When God reveals the word to you, that is present tense. All right. You see what I'm talking about? Brother Brown said, tell you me, brother, sister, outside of this age. You know? So he must have been talking about us. Right? He's talking about somebody. Why can't we believe we're that people? And I've always said with him, if I can't make it manifest, I don't want to stand in the way of somebody can. I want to believe it. If this old boy goes to the grave, you can battle. Just say one thing about it. The devil had a battle. This old boy didn't lay down and say, well, Satan, you defeated me. And was that man said, I want to fight him or something. And I want to bite him with my teeth until my teeth wears out. And then I want to gum him to death. He just ain't going to give up. Zachary, he's pretty tough now in his age and all, and he's big. But when the feller was little, you got a hold of him, bud, you better be careful. Because he didn't believe in giving up. And you think you had him, he's going to hurt you. Because he didn't believe in giving up. Right? I don't either. I don't believe in giving up. Right. I give out, but I don't believe in giving up. Right. I want to fight him until everything, because I believe that we're living in the age to where time and eternity is going to meet. And I ain't talking about for the world. I ain't talking about all. I'm talking about for the bride of Jesus Christ. Time and eternity's got to come together. Heaven and earth is going to kiss again. Because it did back there in a man. And he said, what happened back there is going to happen again. But do we believe it? Brother Brown says we're sympathetic with it. Right? Well, I believe the prophet's message. Well, what about this? Well, I don't know about that. Well, what do you mean you don't know about it? The prophet said it. Show me one thing I've ever denied about what he said. That's on the internet. That's anywhere. Well, Brother Dale, you don't believe it like we... I didn't say believe it like you do. I said, you show me where I won't say what the prophet said. But you better make sure you know how to say what the prophet said. Because I'm going to remind you what he did say. But listen, brothers and sisters. There is a time to all things. That's Ecclesiastes. There's not a time for all things. That's not even scriptural. There's a time to all things. There's a time to cry. There's a time to sleep. There's a time to eat. There's a time. There's not a time for, because a time for would mean you could eat it anytime you wanted to. There's a time to. All right. I think this is the time for us to start confessing who we are. Well, I don't want to say it, because if I'm not it, I'm lying. You're lying already?
Amen.
What's the difference in one lie or the other lie?
Right.
They said to Brother Branham, said, Brother Branham, you told them people that's healed. He said, what did you want me to tell them? That's what the Bible says. He said, it's up to them whether they believe it or not.
Amen.
He said, I told them what the Bible said. But you see, we want some kind of a rabbit hat trick. We want to look for something. And if it don't happen that way, one of the kids one time, I don't remember which one, might have been a grandchild, one of them made a good point out of something one time, and that's funny in a way, but it wasn't funny, but they said, Papa said, you're always talking about the Lord could come any time. Said, then you turn around and say this certain thing got to take place. Well, what's your answer? And I told him, I said, well, them things that take place in a hurry. You know, the things that I said that need to take place in a hurry. You know, because you can't hinder God. But you understand. My point is this. The Word comes predestinated eternally. When Martin Luther caught that message for that day of the just shall live by faith, time and eternity met. Because there was a man standing there that the world was against, and Satan and everything in the world was against, but they couldn't conquer him until he brought his message. They said, one of the men down through time, you know, they said, don't you know that it might have been Luther, said, don't you know the world's against you? He said, I want them to know I'm against them. He protested a Catholic Church, which meant excommunication and death. That's how much he believed what he does. Done. What about you and I? We can't even get to church and live the message. And then we want to blame God, and then we want to look around. I've never had any trouble with laity people talking about the message of the hour. It's always preachers that I have trouble with. Because preachers are just dumb enough, excuse me, to tell you that they don't agree with you, but they won't tell you why. Or they'll come up with some idea. You know, we were talking about a certain brother there yesterday. And this brother, he was really laying it on up here one time. And he said, man, said, see there when Joseph was sold in slavery, said, first thing that happened, said, they automatically castrated him because he wasn't going to have servants around the women. Some of you heard that, but you didn't pay no attention. I said, well, it sure was an odd situation when I got a chance to speak. I thought Joseph had two or three kids later. They must have had some miracle surgery. So everybody, oh, look at that. Look at that. That brother brought it out. I never seen that. Well, I hadn't either. Because it wasn't true. Same one said, Paul said he is married. He was part of the Sanhedrin court. He had to be married. I said, I don't give a hoot about the Sanhedrin because it's wrong. Brother Brown said, Paul was not married. It took me a while, but I found it. But the answer back to him was, I said, I guess what we need to do is go home and kill our wives. Because if we can't preach, if we're married, we just go kill our wives. Because Paul said, be as I am. You say, that's carnal talk and plain. No, it's plain language. Because I don't play with the Word of God. I don't like jokes and things made out of the Word of God. Same man said one time, he's talking about them deacons and elders said they're out to teach. He said, yeah, you got to watch them. They're out to teach. That's playing with the Word of God. I don't like that. The Word of God to me is serious. I believe what God said. He said there was a people, and the prophet of God said there's a people predestinated. That means God eternally determined that to take place. That there'd be a group of people standing on the earth that would face death and life at it. And that they'd be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Now we'll get into the adoption and find out the reason we're not at that place is why. Because the child's behavior is the one that hinders them from coming to adoption. Is that true? See, then it's probably our misbehavior. Brother Ryan says misbehavior of unconfessed sin. And you know his definition of sin. They ain't smoking and gambling. It's unbelief in God's word. See, I want to say to you today, I believe this day, this scripture is here to be fulfilled. What? That we are facing the death of natural things. And why can't we look at it and see that all of that means that look at all these storms around. Look at all these conditions that are happening. If you can't see we're in a pre-tribulation, you better open your eyes. The Bible speaks of 7,000 people dying in one thing, and that was a great thing. 200-something thousand died in that one great earthquake thing over there. Look how it's mounting everywhere. What did they say about Japan moved 13 or 16 feet toward the United States? Because of that earthquake. Well, what did it do to us? Everything in the natural you can see. Oh, look at this. The paper says this. The paper says that. The Bible says, well, I don't know about that. I believe what Garner Ted Armstrong would say. I believe what some give a newscaster, some, because I'm not up on current events. Paul Harvey. He ain't working now, but, you know, Paul Harvey said it. You say, but the Bible said, well, I don't know about that. Right? If I could just see, I'd believe it. No, the Bible doesn't say that. Bible says, I believe to see. Then say, I see to believe. Then I believe to see. See? Listen, folks. Somebody's got to make alive the scriptures for this day. See? Well, why can't we believe it? Why can't we say we're the people? Why can't we say, as the scripture says, we're the people at the end of the world has come upon? Somebody's got to say it. Yeah. Well, we're sitting in our unbelief and saying, well, I don't believe it because I can't see it. Well, you know what? You never will see it. Yeah. Listen, folks. If you ever get the new birth, as I said, it's not a sprinkling of God, it just falls down. There's ways of going through to get it. You're going to have to believe. And you're going to have to confess. You're going to have to believe you got it, confess you got it, and don't got it. You have to wait till God gives it to you. Yeah. Well, then that's the way it is in the end time. I believe there's a group of people standing here. Now, I'm going to say this, and I'll quit. Because this is the message. I've got to wave my notes. Forget them anyway. But see, somebody's got to be standing here in the end time. And time and eternity has got to gather together. There's going to have to be the Word first that says it. Because if the Word don't say it, forget it. They're having revivals all over the country. They're doing all kind of things. The prophet of God said there ain't no worldwide revivals. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about for the bride. But listen, somebody's got to stand here and say it. Why can't we start saying it? Time and eternity's got to meet. All right. Now, if I die and go by the grave, I'm not in this scripture. I'm fixing to tell you. If you die and go in by the grave, you're not a part of what I'm fixing to bring. Okay? Everybody understand? Because you can't believe that you can be changed in a moment, twinkle of an eye. So you got to go by the grave. No disrespects to nobody. If I die standing here today, don't put over my tombstone, he died in disgrace. No, I was screaming trying to get you to see it. If nothing else, say he was trying to get me to see it. But somebody has got to look death in the face and say, you're done, old boy. God's done revealed to me that I'm changed. Well, what if it don't take place? Well, what if it does? Where are you going to be? Right? Could I make a big frown or whatever to make you understand what I'm saying? You go out there this evening and you sit down out there and you say, son, don't you go down. I challenge you, son. Don't you go down. You better have your hat to put on when dark comes because it's coming. But if God reveals to you that the sun won't go down, go out there and say it and it won't go down. Right? But if it's our own quotes, what is it? See, that's what everybody bases it on. But you see, if I'm going to make the change, now you know what I'm saying, change. Then you realize, and Brother Gary, shake yourself on this one, okay? You realize I'm standing in the body. Then in one split second I can be made eternal. I don't know how much a twinkling of an eye is, and everybody's tried to make it a blink, and what the prophet said, and what is it. Who's concerned about how long that is? It just simply means in a short period. The best one I heard about it was a twinkle in the eye was if you're staying with the prophet's message, he's your eye. That's a good point. Because you know what? He believed in it. He believed any second God could come. But you know what? There was a predestinated group of people that had to come to believe his message that would bring him out of the ground. But you realize that if you can just see what I'm talking about. If I die, I go back to the gases. And Brother Brown said, not necessarily the same gases, but the same 16 elements. Now, what's he saying? You know what I'm fixing to say, right? A lion in Africa jumps on you, bites your head off, and chews it up. And they throw a net over him. And they throw him on an airplane. And they fly him to California. Half your body's in California. Your head and everything else, when he uses the bathroom, is in half of us in Africa. The body and the head's in California. Now, what are you talking about? That, to me, is what Brother Randall is saying. Not necessarily the same gases, but the same elements. You return back to the gases. But he'll speak, and out of the earth will come that body. But somebody ain't going to have to do that. Somebody's going to stand here and say, I'm changed, and it'll take place. There's where time and eternity will come together. But that's a message in the end time, because you're predestinated unto that place in this day. Because there's more to adoption than just the manifested sons and daughters of God. There is a to wit, the redemption of the body. We'll get to that. Why can't we believe? Time and eternity meets. You realize if you're not going to go by the grave, you're living in the body, it's going to be changed. Come on. You're living in the body that's going to be changed. And if you go by the grave, you're coming back up in the body that you lived in. Right? The only difference is somebody going to stand here not out to die. Well, why can't we believe we're them? Why can't we say, this is what is predestinated unto this age? Lord, let me fulfill that. Let me be what you predestinated me to be. And I'm talking about what? It's not the person that comes predestinated eternally, but the word or seed. But what about when the word and seed and a person comes together? Don't you believe that Jesus was the word?
Amen.
Holding up one hand to show you what I'm talking about. Body and all. It met eternity one day. Right? And he turned around and he said, you destroy this body. In 3 days, I'll bring it up. Right?
Amen.
But somebody don't have to say that. Somebody says, I'm changed. Somebody's predestinated unto adoption. Now we'll get back to it, because you're predestinated unto sonship. Predestinated unto resurrection. But why can't you say you're predestinated? Yeah. See, this is the scripture where time and ages must meet. It has to always be this way. Someone will have to confess, I am the person that will not go by the grave. And Jesus said, you destroy this body. 3 days, I'll bring it up. And he did. Right? Why can't, won't somebody be saying, you can't destroy this body? Now, come on. I don't care how many bombs they got headed this way. Your prophet's done said you're going out of here in the rapture before one bomb falls. He didn't say they come over here and make dirty bombs and sneaky bombs and blow half of New York off the map. He said, before one bomb falls. Right? We're going out of here. They announce right now, I'm seeing people just scared to death. You know? Here comes these bombs. Somebody just stand there, this is cool, and says, ain't you scared? No, they ain't got here yet. Well, ain't you going to run? Where? Why may run? Either God will be here in a split second to get me out of here. Or something's going to happen. You see what I'm talking about? In the Bible times, we talk about people who had this great supernatural faith. That they had beliefs. They challenged this. David killed the bear, the lion, the giant, etc. We can talk about that a lot, can't we? But why can't we see that they simply was believing something present tense instead of prophesying? Right? We could at least be like the sister was that said, you know, don't you understand in 30 minutes we're going to be at the bottom of the sea, or we'll either be in the harbor. She was rejoicing, saying, glory, hallelujah. They said, why? She said, I got a daughter over in the harbor waiting on me. Said, I got a daughter in glory. In 30 minutes, I'll be with one of them. What can you do with a person like that? You might as well just leave them alone. Oh, they're fanatics. Well, what are you? I like the one where Brother Branham saw the man up there and had the signs and I'm a fool for Christ. He said everybody was turning around and looking as a man walked by. He said, I turned around and looked too, and he said on his back, he said, whose fool are you?
Right.
Now here's my last statement. All of those in the Bible who ever amounted to anything or anything ever took place, anything you want to make it, Brother Branham or Luther Wesley and their messages, whatever you want to make it, there were people like you and I the people that God had spoke to. And him speaking to them meant it was a predestinated word. And they believed it. And that brought eternity to them. What about it? What about it? When are we going to start saying who we are instead of saying what the devil says we are? Devil says you're sick, say I'm well. What does the Bible say? Let the redeemed say so, or something like that. When are we going to start saying what the Bible says? Well, somebody will. Why can't I say I'm part of it? I hope you caught what I said a moment ago. If you go by the grave, don't misunderstand me. You're not going to go by the grave being 5 foot tall and come up 9 foot tall. You're going to come back, that body, but it can turn back to ashes and gases and things like that. But God will speak it right out of the dust of the earth. But somebody will be standing there in a body that will be changed. That's the message. To wit, the redemption of our body. To understand the redemption of our body. But we think we're going to get good enough. We think we're going to do some magic thing. You know, as I told you in the Baptist, when you paved the parking lot or painted the church, you automatically got a trip to heaven. They never preached anybody to hell that if he is a pervert of all forms, but he never went to hell when he died if he painted the church or paved the parking lot. But then why can't we say who we are by the word? Let's stand. We come into the communion time. Why can't we believe? You said, well, Brother Dale, if we had what we talk about, what we have, and people said that. If we have what we think we have, why ain't things happening? Open your eyes. How long do you want to stay for me to tell you what God has done through this one person that you see that you can't deny it? That my blood type was totally changed from A negative to A positive. That the Lord healed my eyesight, went from where I couldn't even shoot a gun with an iron sight because wavy outside, and for 8 years I wore no glasses. And beside that, little Zach's been wearing glasses. Get him to tell you about it. And Daddy said, Zach, where's your glasses? He said, don't need them no more. He said, now put my glasses on, it's all fuzzy. He's healed. But yeah, we don't count that. Yeah. What do you need to believe? What do I need for it to happen to me? Within belief. Accept it for you. It's not just for me. The prophet of God come to speak of a bride. Well, somebody can be that bride. But we look at our own ignorant ideas and try to figure it out. There stood a man one day and said, the Bible promises this, the Bible promises that. He said, now I want to tell you this day, this scripture is fulfilled. Now how many believed him? There's really not a record that anybody believed him that day. Right? But did that matter to him? Well, nobody didn't believe me, Lord, so I guess I said it wrong. I need to make sure and check up on what I say the next time. He said, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. And I don't believe he was smiling when he said it. You see, we can talk a lot about what's been. But I'm talking about what's here. Well, I didn't do this 40 years ago. And I don't do it because 40 years has passed on. Somebody's got to start saying that we're here. And that this is the time to inherit all nature. But what's hindering us? Our childhood training. We're not following the training that God wants to give us. Think on these things. Let's read the scripture and go into communion. Aaron and Wade, if you would. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the world, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Let's just have a few moments of silent prayer, praying one for the other, and remembering the sick among us, the things. But remember that God wants us delivered. Thank you for all things, Father. Forgive our sins and lead us by your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I've had a cold, so I don't want none of you afraid. I'm going to let Wade break the bread. Because I know what the human did. Go ahead. Sanctify it and break it.
Dear Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that you would just take this bread now, Lord, as it signifies your body. Lord, it was broken for us, Lord, at Calvary. Father, we pray now that you, just as we take it, Lord, that it would be a part of our body, and Lord, just take it, heal us and help us and make us well, Father. Forgive us of our sin. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 I just don't want the devil hindering nobody.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, we thank you for this wine that's went through the process. And Lord, it's to the place now that it gets better each day, because it's a type of your blood that was shed for each and every one of us. And Lord, as we eat the little piece of bread and we drink the wine, it becomes actually blood cells in our body. And that way we can live by it, Lord. If we ate enough of it and drank enough of the wine, we could live. But yet we just take this little portion as an example to see these things. But you sanctify the wine and the partakers, that we may all be one together in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come morning, I walk by the river. I'll rest 'neath the evergreen tree. I'll carry my cross through the midnight. Come morning, there's glory for me. Sometimes I'm despised and rejected, and I question, oh Father, how long? Then I take one more look at Mount Calvary, and it gives me the strength to go on. Sing it unto him and think about him. Come morning, sometime between 6 and 9 o'clock, the prophet of God said. That's the fourth watch of the night. That's when Jesus appeared on the water. The prophet said there's only three watches in the night. That's right. Because 6 and 9 is in the morning. But it's called fourth watch of the night because it was still dark when 6 starts. Come ye, come morning, and I'll walk by the river. I'll rest 'neath the evergreen tree. Just think, this is what we'll do at the marriage supper. We'll take the communion. Be a wonderful time, won't it? You say, well, how long would it take for the Lord Jesus to pass out bread for billions of trillions of born-again Christians sitting down on the table? I don't know. I don't care. Because there ain't going to be no time. Everything going to be present tense. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. There's a present tense gospel. There's a believing that it's real. The day you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost was a rejoicing period, right? It was eternity for a split second there. And then all at once the devil, he jumps on and says you didn't get it. But what does that matter? Tell him he's a liar. Well, what if I didn't get it? Well, if you didn't get it, just keep believing until you get it. Just keep telling the devil he's a liar. Well, I don't want to lie. You're born one. I don't solve nothing. You're not making no great speech to me to say I don't want to lie. The Bible says, by his stripes I'm healed. It doesn't say if I do this or do that. It says, by his stripes I'm healed. And why can't we believe it? Well, why can't we believe that there'll be a change? Right? Why can't we believe that? Because it will be. Why can't we believe that we're being changed? Because I thought the Bible said that we were being born again. Something's a process is taking place. See? Why can't we believe it? When are we going to start believing what God says instead of believing what the devil says? Yeah? And say, I'm healed, I'm delivered. And you'll go home a whole lot happier. Why is it when you get sick that you got to expect it to feel so dirty and down and got to lay around and say, I don't know, you get over it a whole lot quicker by getting up. Thursday I was coughing and so congested, my wife knew it, made me call the doctor to get something. All right, that's fine. We believe in it. But yesterday I was working out in the yard with a tractor. I could have been laying up in the bed. Oh, I feel so bad. And you know what? My wife would have waited on me. But instead of that, she was out there fussing at me. There you're sick and out in the yard of working. I said, yeah. Because I ain't going to lay down. You do it, you won't get up. Forgive me. Let's take the communion together. You say, one of these days, Brother Dale, it'll hit you and you'll lay down. Well, I'll be laying there saying, by stripes, I'm healed. I miss going to work one day. No, go ahead. Our brother wants to testify. Come on up here. We're here, don't I?
You don't never know where to tell things or not. But Gail and I have been looking after our grandson. We went over to their house one day, and then we brought him over to our house 2 days. And the last day we were over there, and she, and I'm not saying this to make nothing out of me or anybody else. I'm just saying it happened. And anyhow, she said, I'm going to take Daniel's fever. And they got this little thing that's sticking in your ear. You've seen it like that, you know. She got back in the car and opened it up. She's going around through the bag. And she says, I left that thing at home. And the thought went through my mind was, now I got to go home and get that thing and take it all the way back over to Douglasville. And the thought come to me, Brother Branham said, if my pocket knife was laying on the dress,
right,
he said, and I called for it, it'd be in my pocket.
Right.
All of this happened. And then she said, here it is.
Right.
And that bothered me to whether or not it really happened. There ain't nobody nowhere knows whether or not that really happened or not, because it happened. And I believe it.
Right.
I believe that's happening this day and time.
Exactly.
Where we're living.
Amen. Yeah. I believe it. Well, ain't never happened to me. Never will. Because you don't believe it. Wouldn't fire you. Right? Wouldn't fire you. That's just easy. I'm sorry. But it's the truth. When are we going to believe? When are we going to say what God says? And talk about what He does? Right? See, we could stand here all afternoon and let the rest of you testify of the things that God has done. Right? But that's just, you know, I had that 30-06 that time go off within a barrel. It was less than 6 inches of my head, and my head pointed towards the tree, and the gun leaning against it, and I was just that close to it. And it went off, and bark went, come back into pieces, and pieces of lead come back in my forehead. And I didn't feel a thing. I was actually hunting to see if I was still together. I had enough conscience in my mind. I couldn't hear or couldn't feel or nothing. But I had enough conscience in my mind, if the top of my head was gone, my hand would fall in. And I was expecting it. I rubbed across and I looked at it, and there was blood, little spots. I said, well, that ain't gone. Let me see if I got the rest of it. He said, well, what'd you do? What was I going to do? Terrence was over on a tree over there, weighed one, and shielded the sound off till they didn't even know that it had been my gun. Well, what was I going to do? Well, I'd have been screaming and running to the doctor. For what? I went on up the tree and hunted. I just didn't load my gun till I got up on the tree the next time. And I've been more cautious of that. And I try not to do it. See? But see, why can't we believe that God is with us? Like I told you, sitting up on that tree, feels like my heart's hurting, dying, my arms are aching all over, just like a heart attack. And Satan says, I got you. I said, well, Lord, I just eased back down. There's old stands, you know, that you had to hand hug to crawl up. And I just slid back down and sat down, kind of on it, propped on the stand. I said, well, Lord, if I go here, I'm about 18 feet off the ground. I don't have to feel that ground. I don't have to worry about it. I'm closer to you than I would be if I was down there. What does it matter to me what they find? And I just sat down. Pain just started easing away. I sat there and hunted the rest of the evening. Man. But I'm just so scared, brother. That scared of what? You must not be saved. I ain't stupid. I ain't walking out here in front of the train that's coming down the track. Nobody's talking about junk. I'm just talking about what good would have done me to run that day and jump down. And by hugging that tree, I'd have probably had a heart attack. Because I had to belly hug it. The old days with the stands we had, I'd have had to belly hugged and wrestled to get down 18 feet. I'd have probably had one. Because I'd have been so nervous. But instead of that, I just said, well, thank you, Lord. You know. What are you afraid of? There ain't no devil in the world can get you till God is through with you. Do you think he could have stopped Martin Luther? There ain't no way. He can't stop this end time bride. Just say it and let's walk into it. If you don't never say it, you can't walk into it. Let's get into the scriptures on the foot washing. John 13, verse 2. The supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, you are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Let's just pray and let the sisters go downstairs for the foot washing. We'll pray into the dismissal and all. Remember, the service is Wednesday. Wade will be preaching Wednesday. So just remember that and just pray that the Lord would bless us all and be together in the Lord, okay? Father, we thank you for your love and your grace unto us. We thank you for the day. We pray that what we've tried to bring, Lord, is what you wanted to be brought. And we've tried to do it with the right attitude, Lord, and sometimes we get ourselves in the way, and we're sorry. But yet, Lord, what we said is true. We believe that you're trying your best to get us to step out on what we believe, to confess what we believe, to say that we're here and the end of all things has come upon us. Lord, somebody must do it. Why can't we believe that we're them? And time and eternity will meet together right here. Because heaven and earth will kiss again in this last days, Lord, that when God and man will become one again. Lord, we love you and we thank you. Sanctify each and every one of the group here, Lord, as we are one together in you. And just be with us on the way home when we finish up with the foot washing. And bless each one in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.